Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Deciding in your youth on the policy of truth.
With Depeche Mode, Dave Gahan helped set the tone for electronic dance music. Now in a new collaboration, he's aiming for a different sound.
Are you sure you're ready for forgiveness?
That's Dave Gahan with the English production duo Soul Savers. The Depeche Mode frontman is the vocalist on their new album, a dark affair called The Light the Dead See. And Dave Gahan returns to our studio to tell us about it. Later, a beatboxing flutist has helped turn Project Trio into YouTube stars with 70 million views of their online videos. We'll hear this viral chamber music group playing live in our studio. All of that on Soundcheck, plus our weekly pick three after the news. When you're looking for salvation, why not start with a group called Soul Savers? This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today on the show, Dave Gahan, the frontman of the band Depeche Mode, talks about finding solace with the English production team, Soul Savers. And later, the Project Trio isn't your typical chamber ensemble. We'll hear bass, cello, and a beatboxing flutist live in our studio. But let's start with Dave Gahan. He's been the voice of Depeche Mode for three decades, which means he's played a big role in electronic and dance music. Just last year, Gahan joined us on the heels of a Depeche Mode remix project, which challenged DJs and producers to rework his classic hits like Personal Jesus and Enjoy the Silence. But Gahan himself is also a singer-songwriter with two solo albums to his credit, and that might be why he was enlisted as the vocalist on this new album by Soul Savers, the English production duo. The record is called The Light the Dead See, and it brings Dave Gahan back to our studio. Welcome.
Hello, thanks.
Let's first of all explain Soul Savers. This is the production team, two guys who got their start really in the electronic realm, it seems.
I think they're tagged with that, and because the first record that they produced together was predominantly sort of produced in an electronic way, but I think they quickly sort of moved into a different area and were able to manipulate some of that stuff. It's kind of like, you know, making music is a learning process, and you know, it's one of those things that you constantly surprise yourself if you take risks. And Soul Savers is definitely that for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I discovered them really through Mark Lanegan, listening to Mark Lanegan and
the American singer,
yes,
from Screaming Trees, yeah, and Queens of the Stone Age,
exactly. And through listening to Mark's music and his songs, and someone suggested I check out Soul Savers, where Mark had previously sung as
right.
well. There's kind of a revolving door as well of lots of different musicians that step up to Soul Savers. Like, they come in, there's a couple of guys from Spiritualize, there's Martin Lenoble on that particular track, is playing some beautiful bass guitar.
Will Oldham has sung for them.
Yes.
I think Richard Hawley. Hawley.
Yeah. Exactly.
So now it's your turn. what... Are you a guest vocal? I mean, you're pretty much front and center all through the record except for the two instrumental tracks.
Yeah, well, this one was a little different for them because when we first got together, let me go back a little bit. Like, Soul Savers were playing with my band Depeche Mode on a 2009 tour that we did, and they were opening for us a number of shows, and which was... through a mutual friend that suggested it. That was Martin Lenoble, and it kind of worked out. And so I'd sit on the side of the stage most nights and watch Mark up there singing the songs, thoroughly enjoyed it. And one night, Rich and I were just, I think, in a hallway before a show.
This is Rich Machin.
Yeah, Rich Machin and half of the team. And We were just chatting before a show and started talking about the writing process, and it turned out that we had a very sort of similar process in writing, and the way that he had written in the past with Mark was very similar to the way that I like to write with people. And so, you know, we might had that conversation of like, let's do something. Now, you have those conversations a lot, but so quite often nothing turns out happening. But, you know, shortly after I'd finished that tour, sure enough, I got a call from Rich, and he said, I've got something, you know, I've got something I could send you. And are you interested? So I said, send it to me, and I'll see if, you know, I'm feeling it and see what happens. And, you know, no strings attached. And it was really like that. And that process continued for about a year. And by the end of that year, we realized we had more than enough for a record, and what seemed to be was going to could possibly be you know, a great record.
The record is called The Light the Dead See, and it's out today from Soul Savers, featuring Dave Gahan, my guest, frontman for Depeche Mode, now fronting this duo of Rich Machen and Ian Glover. And you talked before about how, although they may have started in the electronica realm, they've sort of quickly moved to other things. I hear an almost Phil Spector-ish kind of production in this song called In the Morning. Mm. It's a little bit of the collaboration between Dave Gahan and Soul Savers.
Do you think that I am lost, or am I found? Just after midnight, when I woke up sweating, I was dreaming.
In the Morning, which swells to a big, almost orchestral sound. Dave, when Soul Savers, when they sent you the track, was it this grand?
No. I think this one in particular was, I might be wrong, but I think it was Rich playing an acoustic guitar. A lot of the stuff, what happened was he'd send me these pieces that he'd been working on himself, like, and sort of worked them up in a rough way. He would always say to me, it's really rough. But, they, you know, I heard something in it that was very inspiring immediately, and I would just start writing, and these words would start pouring out. And then what would happen, once I had kind of developed what I felt was the song arrangement and the way I wanted the song, the arc of the song to work, I would send it back to Rich, and he would start then building up the song around what I had done, using various different musicians and friends of his and people that would get involved. Then there was strings scored, and, you know, this was, you know,
a tale that grew in the telling.
You know, it
like.
Really was, and it was kind of like magic, the way that it happened.
All right, now that's you singing in the foreground. Someone else is lurking in the background.
Yeah, well, that's Mark. Mark, you know, I had some pretty big shoes to fill there as well.
So this is a passing of the torch from Mark Lanegan to you.
Yeah, a little bit, and it mattered to me a lot actually that I had Mark's blessing with this as well, and. From what I hear, he really liked what he heard, and he was sort of, Rich said he'd been pestering him for a while to hear what we'd been doing, and finally Rich sat, you know, they sat down together one day in the studio and ended up playing a couple of tracks, and he said, well, let me hear some more, and he ended up hearing the whole record, from what I hear, he said something like, you know, I kind of really wanted to hate it, but it's actually really good.
We're speaking with Dave Gahan, the front man for Depeche Mode, who appears as the vocalist on the new album from the English production team known as Soul Savers. That's Rich Machen and Ian Glover. Mark Lanegan and numerous others had sung for the band before. It's pretty much all Dave on this new record called The Light the Dead See. Where does that title come from?
It was actually, it just seemed to really work. It's a poem that Frank Stanford wrote.
American poet?
Yeah. And we had a few titles that were, you know, sort of we were bouncing around, and that one just seemed to really fit with the feelings that this record sort of evoked. I mean, it's very, you know, it's very cinematic, it's very visual.
It's also this idea of, you know, the light, the Dead Sea, this this kind of playing of tragedy and drama and hope, maybe.
And yeah, absolutely hope.
And that, yeah. I mean, you know, it seems to be reflected in some of the lyrics, which, you know, are a world away from lyrics that you might have written 10, 20 years ago.
Well, I think a lot of that comes with experience and just feeling that you have the freedom to, just having the confidence as well, freedom and confidence to just really let, you know, spill what the music is evoking. And that's really what happened here. I didn't try to redesign anything too much. I wrote what I felt when I was and what I was inspired to write from what I heard from Rich.
Were you surprised at what you were writing?
I was afterwards, later on. When it was actually happening, it felt completely natural. And one thing I tried to stay very conscious of was not editing that. Because, you know, as a writer and, you know, when things go down in song form, you've got to, there's a sort of fine line with, especially when you're playing around with this kind of subject matter, that it's like, for me, when I'm listening to it, I got to believe it. I want to believe the guy that's singing it and that they have some kind of experience in singing it and performing it, so... that was the only thing I tried to remain aware of, and then it was important to me not to edit too much what was naturally coming out.
This song called "I Can't Stay" from the new album. This sounds like it was written by a guy who's been through the wars. This is from the new album, "The Light, the Dead Sea," Soul Savers with Dave Gahan.
Even as you talk, I can't understand. Lips, they keep on moving, telling tired tales that have all been heard. So many precious days, and all the parts you played, you looked so fine. All those days have gone, we tried to get along, but not all, not all the time. I can't stay with you in here anymore. I feel like my time is running out. I know that much for sure. I can't stay for another day in here with you. I feel like my time is running out. I know that much for sure.
"I Can't Stay" is the name of that song, written by my guest Dave Gahan and the guys in the group Soul Savers. That's Rich Machen and Ian Glover, the English production team. The new album is called "The Light, the Dead Sea," and you had a tough year going into this project. Malignant tumor removed, a leg injury, vocal cords. I mean.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about the leg.
Yeah. This was not like, you know, in your youth where maybe you brought your woes upon yourself.
Yeah.
This was just like stuff happening.
Yeah. This was life. That's right. Well, look, these things, they say, you know, will make you stronger. But, I do feel that as well. And I also feel that they're constant reminders, you know, this. You're human and, you know, you're going to have obstacles that you're going to have to climb over and things that happen in life that are out of your control. Now, you know, they also they're food for thought. You know, they make you think about a lot of stuff, what's important and what's not really important. The things that you dwell on that just, you know, really you shouldn't. And, So, you know, as I don't know if it comes with age as well, but as I get a little older and maybe a little bit wiser, I'm able to reflect on that stuff more. And that definitely comes out in this music. I think, you know, yeah, it was kind of a tough year, but the stuff with my vocals and stuff, that's wear and tear. That's just stuff that's going to happen.
Right.
If you're trying to do four or five shows a week for, you know, a year or two, you're going to have some problems. But, you know, the other stuff was out of my control and, you know, in lots of ways. But what it did make me do is stop and think and stop and try to value what is important.
Mm-hmm. So how are you feeling now?
I'm feeling great. I have no complaints at all. I have an amazing job. I have a fantastic family. My wife's listening right now. Hi, Jen. You know, there's no, I what can I say?
Yeah.
I get to make music with, you know, this really was a gift for me, this record. And the way the songs were written really taught me a lot about getting out of my own way. And there's always something there if you just show up, you know.
you said earlier that music is a learning process, and it seems that that's often the last thing that people learn is how to get out of their own way.
Yeah, and music, and you know, music really is, it's like a gift. It just is floating around there. I really do believe that. Look, that's not to say you got to put some work into it. You got to put some work into it. But look, when Rich kind of gave me these things, they were gifts. And there was never a moment when he and I had a conversation on the phone where it's like, well, what do you want me to do with this? I don't really know what to do. There wasn't any of that trying to figure it out. It was really just quite pure.
And what are you left with? Do you hear this as an album or as a collection of songs?
It's definitely an album now. I mean, it started out as a collection of songs, or it started out as a writing, kind of like a process of writing and learning from that, really. We didn't sit down and say, let's make a record. It was just to see if we can write some songs together. And after about five or six pieces that we had done, we realized that it was kind of, you know, okay, this is turning into a record. And got very excited about that. But it's definitely an album, and to me, it's an album that I'm still kind of like, I have two sides to that album. I'm kind of putting, you know, really kind of.
Do you mean literally like an A side?
Yeah,
and a B side?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Rich and I, that's one thing we did discuss. We're both big fans of gospel and blues music, and there's a lot of those influences in this music. But we're fans of like a record where there's like you listen to it. It's got it begins, it takes you on a little journey, and then
you flip the record over.
Yeah, and it leaves you in a place of reflection or whatever, and just feeling a sense of hope or like you belong to something. I mean, when I was a kid growing up, David Bowie did that for me. It was like I was, you know,
Ziggy Stardust.
Yeah, I mean, those records, they just took me to a place. I wanted to go live where he was living. You know?
We're speaking with Dave Gahan, who's working with Soul Savers. The new album is out today called The Light, The Dead Sea. Here's perhaps a little bit of a slightly harder-edged song called Bitter Man.
Wild is the sky that covers you. Long be the night that comforts you. Dark is the day confronting you and pushing you. You're such a bitter man. You can't. Oh.
Bitter Man from the Soul Savers record The Light, The Dead Sea, which is out today and features my guest Dave Kahan on vocals. He wrote the lyrics. And doing all of this, you're working with Soul Saver. Your bandmate in Depeche Mode, Martin Gore, has been working with your former bandmate, Vince Clark, on a project they're calling VCMG.
That's correct.
So what does that mean for Depeche Mode, with the two of you pursuing other things?
Well, it was good. Yeah, Mark got to do that, and I think he had a lot of fun making that record with Vince. And in the meantime, I was writing with Rich, which turned into a record. But both of us also, at the same time, were writing songs and demoing for what is now to become the next Depeche Mode record, which we are in the process of recording at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And we're now also talking about planning a tour and everything for next year. So I got a feeling that this record's going to be something really good, because I think both these projects that we've done outside of the band have given us some inspiration.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So you feel like you're coming at it from maybe a different angle or something.
Yeah, it's not just that. It's just sort of, you know, like I said, this is a learning process. It is. You never stop learning. And, you know, when you think that you've done it all as an artist, it's time to hang it up, I think. Because for me, what's happened is the more I kind of stretch myself and try doing things with other people as well, it just enthuses me to come back to my band and with a fresh approach to what I do vocally, a fresh approach to how things are recorded. You know, so that's exciting to me, because there was, if you'd asked me this question maybe sort of 15, 20 years ago, I might have turned around and said, well, you know, we've already climbed the mountain and there's nowhere to go now.
Yeah,
because I kind of felt like that at that point, and oh boy, was I wrong.
And what, how did that change?
It changed with sort of, you know, by circumstances that, you know, I've been well documented, and I think I got to a point where I was just kind of artistically, I felt at such a low that I had to try something different. And that came with stepping out of what my comfort zone,
mm-hmm.
and stretching myself and working with people that challenge me,
yeah.
You know, and ask me to step up to do something different.
Well, I think Depeche Mode fans will be very happy to hear that there's a new record. You guys were working on it last night, apparently. And
yep, I was doing some vocals late last night. And yeah, it's going to be an exciting record. And I'm excited about doing some shows next year, too.
All right. The current album, The Light, The Dead Sea, featuring the band Soul Savers and my guest Dave Kahan. This song in the background is called Take Me Back Home. Dave, a real pleasure having you with us on Soundcheck. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
As long as you were right with me here, there's nothing else that I would need.
In a moment, we'll find out about three must-hear new releases in our weekly Pick 3, and then later, a live performance from the internet sensation with the beatboxing flutist known as Project Trio. This is Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Time for this week's Pick 3, when we find out about a trio of must-hear new music releases. And with us this week, New York Daily News music critic Jim Farber. Hey, Jim.
How are you?
Good. What you been listening to this week?
Well, the one thing that stood out right away for me was the Rebecca Ferguson record. People may have heard about her because she was on the X Factor in England, and almost, of course, anyone coming from one of these cheeseball TV shows
yeah.
is usually not something that that a critic would recommend. But her stuff really stands out. I mean, you know, usually the kind of singers you get on these shows are just picked for their power and certainly not for their subtlety. And I thought Rebecca really knows how to plot a song. You know, she knows how to use her voice in a way that's completely completely connected emotionally, but that also builds a story throughout a song.
Now, does she write her own material, or is she singing other people's songs?
She co-writes with people who are very well known in England. You know, they're people who have done, who have written with Adele and other people that you would know. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Okay. So, from the X Factor, and against all odds, landing on Jim Farber's pick three for this week is Rebecca Ferguson with an album called Heaven.
See who can be the worst. Watch what I can do. But then the door gets slammed, slammed right in my face. And I guess this world's not always good. And nothing's real.
That is Rebecca Ferguson. The album is her debut. It's called Heaven. She was not the winner of the X Factor, as I understand, Jim, but kind of a runner-up, right?
She came in second.
Yeah.
She came in to Matt Cardle, and then she just beat out One Direction, the teen pop band.
So that song, Nothing's Real But Love, she is English, but man, she sounds like she's from, I don't know, Memphis or something.
Well, she's part of a whole wave, obviously, of British singers lately that have had very American sounds. I mean, whether it's Amy Winehouse or Duffy or Rumour or Adele, mm-hmm. obviously, you know, they a lot of them, they're in love with American soul music and American roots music, and they know how to sell it back to us.
Now, speaking of Europeans falling in love with American music, tell us about Anders Osborne.
Yeah, well, as the name sort of tips off, he's Swedish, but you would not know it from listening to his music. He has lived for a while in New Orleans. That's where he's based and where he's made his most recent records. But he did grow up in Sweden and then left as a teen to kind of tour the world and, you know, do a kind of hitchhiking thing really everywhere. But he always wanted to come to this country and wanted to come to the Crescent City, and he's made these really good, hard blues records there that sound very Americana. You'll hear things that sound very Young and Crazy Horse, things that will sound like the Allman Brothers, other things that sound like Led Zeppelin. It's a lot of sort of classic rock reference points, but he has his own voice, you know, and his own spin on it.
The album's called Black Eye Galaxy, and this song from Anders Osborne is Send Me a Friend. Send Me a Friend is from Anders Osborne, Swedish-born, based in New Orleans, and on Jim Farber's pick three for us, the music critic for the New York Daily News. And boy, that does sound like early Led Zeppelin. I mean, the real bluesy,
yeah.
Swampy stuff.
Yeah, it's got a When the Levee Breaks kind of crash,
yeah.
And burn to it. You know,
yeah.
But he can sing in different ways. You know, so the album has a lot of different sort of sounds on it. It's not all in that kind of smack him over the head vein.
Now, your pick three also is not all in that same vein, because the third of your must-hear records is Chicha Libre, based in Brooklyn. They were playing here in our studio just last week. And Soundcheck listeners, you can find a link to their session with video on our webpage, wnyc.org/soundcheck. Jim, what do you like about the Chicha Libre record?
that it's coming from so many different places. You know, it, as you said, they're based here, but they involve, there's a Venezuelan in there, a Mexican guy, two Americans, two French guys. I mean, they're all from all over, but they fall in love with such an interesting sound from Peru. There was a sound in the 60s called Chicha music that is almost like what Americans would hear. It is sort of like 60s spy rock, you know, with fuzz-tone guitars and a lot of psychedelic influences. And it's a really witty, funny sound. Mm-hmm. But I like the way the group will, they use a lot of retro stuff, you know, older equipment, but it's all mixed up with different things, you know, so it's not just coming from one place.
The album's called Cannibalismo by Chicha Libre, and along with the blues rock of Anders Osborne and the blue-eyed soul of the UK's Rebecca Ferguson, it's on Jim Farber's Pick 3 for us on Soundcheck this week. Jim is music critic for the New York Daily News. Jim, thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
The Danza del Millonario by the band Chicha Libre from Brooklyn and their album Cannibalismo. Still to come, live music in our studio from Project Trio, the beatboxing chamber group with 70 million YouTube views. They'll play live in our studio next. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. In 2006, Greg Petillo's beatboxing flute made this version of the Super Mario Brothers theme song one of the most popular videos on YouTube, with over 22 million views to date. Add two other classically trained musicians and another 40 or so million YouTube hits, and you have the band called Project Trio. This month, the group released their fourth full-length album on their own Harmonyville record label. We'll hear more about that album in a moment, but first, a live song. Here's Project Trio with Dr. Nick live on Soundcheck. Thank you. The band is called Project Trio, and that's their piece Dr. Nick, live performance here in the Soundcheck studio, although you'll also find it on their latest album, Random Roads Collection. Let me introduce you to the members of the trio. Greg Patillo, playing the flute.
Howdy, thanks.
Who's out of breath?
All of us.
Somebody is breathing really, really heavily over there, and it wasn't to my surprise. It didn't seem to be Greg, who not only played the flute but did the beatboxing. Peter Seymour playing the bass,
yes, sir,
and what
you.
Sounded like percussion was you,
yeah,
Peter, rapping.
A little bit of that.
And then Eric Stevenson, who is, I suspect, the guy who I'm hearing breathing so heavily over there. All you do is play the cello, right?
I know, it's crazy.
He's shredding.
Gotta get into it, man. Eric Stevenson and Peter Seymour, Greg Patillo, together they are Project Trio. Greg, let me ask you, which came first for you, beatboxing or playing the flute?
Playing the flute. I am a classically trained kid. In fact, all three of us are classically trained musicians, and we met in
what
a
happened?
Classical conservatory. What happened to me was I got out of school and couldn't find a job. And so I tried to branch out and be tried to find something that would work. When I first came to New York, the only gig I could get was in the subways. And so I cast a wide net. I tried to do classical and jazz and salsa. And it turned out that beatboxing on the flute was what stuck. So mm-hmm. that's what I practiced.
Okay. I mean, the sort of the arc of the story there is like, you get out of the conservatory, you're classically trained, I can't find a job. I know. Beatboxing. That'll be my ticket. That, you know, there seems like maybe there's another step or two there that you're leaving out, but all right. And at what point did you realize that just being a beatboxing flutist wasn't enough, that there needed to be a band?
Well, really, there's more to my musical stylings than just beatboxing on the flute. And Eric and Peter and I were always good friends at conservatory, and all of us have always had a great interest in doing as many extended techniques on our instruments as possible. Many we've learned from contemporary classical musical compositions. And the joy of kind of having a band, so to speak, although we call it an ensemble, is immense because we can really do a lot of different music than just beatbox or mm-hmm. just hip-hop takes on classical things. We explore that, but we try to, you know, do as many different genres as possible.
Peter, do you guys actually do kind of beatboxy versions of recognized classical pieces?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you go to a project show, you really hear all kinds of music, and we do a lot of original compositions like you heard, you know, today.
I would think you would have to, even, you know, just flute, cello, bass, an unusual combination.
Well, absolutely. You know, when we did start, like Greg said, just as friends, but, you know, we always knew that we wanted to play together, and then we always knew that writing and arranging would be a big part of who we were. You know, when we started the group about 5 years ago, we all were in New York City, and one of the first things we did was write our first album. And, you know, we just got together and we were like, we need music for a show. And so we wrote an album, recorded an album, and then we had shows booked and just started playing concerts and stuff. But we definitely arrange all kinds of greats, from jazz works by Dave Brubeck and Charles Mingus to classical greats, Beethoven and Rossini and Tchaikovsky. And it's a fun show.
All right. The band is called Eric, Project Trio or The Project Trio? Project Trio.
You got it.
All right. And the Brooklyn Suite.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about the Brooklyn Suite.
Well, you know, a lot of people ask us how we compose our music for this instrumentation. And simply, we kind of take lessons from the jazz idiom where we get in a room and we do a lot of free improvisation. And the Brooklyn Suite is a recorded version of these free improvisations. We actually call them weirds in our own vernacular. And we see what we can come up with on the spot, and then we often record this and then reference those recordings when we're writing our tunes. And we kind of start from the moments that we really like.
So you're listening back to the tape of the improvisation saying, there, that moment there, let's build something around that.
Absolutely. Okay. And the Brooklyn Suite is just one that we like putting them all together, and they kind of decided they all had a little bit of a character of the characters we see around Brooklyn.
So there are moments in this suite of pieces with titles like South Slope.
That's right.
Lefferts Garden.
Right.
hipsters.
Yeah. And again, that's very biographical. Greg lives in South Slope. Peter and I live in Lefferts Gardens. We definitely come across many hipsters. And and one of our favorite ones is the bridge. And, you know, we go over the Manhattan Bridge often in our commutes. And when you sit there and you look at Manhattan or Brooklyn, whichever way you're coming, you know, music starts coming into your head, and that's a reflection of that.
Yeah, my favorite is when they when the presenter will ask us to play the Brooklyn Suite on the concert, and that's always a feat because it really was a free improvisation. Mm. So
that you've had to relearn what you did
that
first time out. We're speaking with Project Trio. Their CD is called Random Roads Collection, and the CD release party is tomorrow night at Joe's Pub here in Manhattan at 7:30 p.m. The band is here with us in the Soundcheck studio. Want to do the puzzle?
Yeah.
All right. This is from their debut album some years back called Winter in June, but this is another live performance by Project Trio. Project Trio, live, once again, in the Soundcheck studio, and a piece called The Puzzle, which is one of the four songs that makes up the Random Roads Suite, exactly. Not to be confused with the Random Roads Collection, which is the new CD. Once again, the members of Project Trio, Greg Patillo plays the flute, Eric Stevenson the cello, Peter Seymour the bass. Greg, you mentioned extended techniques before. You were using some there, a little bit of multiphonics, getting a couple of notes.
Absolutely. You know, I learned actually from a young age to sing and play at the same time, a la Ian Anderson of Jethro Tull.
I was just going to say, if people go tomorrow night to Joe's Pub to watch you guys play, you will very often raise your right knee while you're playing the classic Ian Anderson Jethro Tull pose.
And I've learned from the best, no kidding. You know, and he got a lot of his sounds from Rahsaan Roland Kirk, who is a great jazz master.
Right.
Used a lot of these sounds and a lot of breathy tones, too, as well on the flute. The flute is known as such a lyrical instrument, and nowadays it seems like my job is to totally destroy that and make it into a rhythmic instrument as well.
And to do that, not just in live performance, but video. I mean, from day one for Project Trio, video has been, it seems like, your calling card. How did that happen?
Well, you know, I think it's I mean, it was just randomly that Greg put that video up there. But, you know, I'm really glad that he did, because really it is how it is like a new model for not just rock groups, but for chamber music ensembles. And I believe that, you know, we had never seen this before, but it's opened up a whole world. You know, from that video, we've now been doing this full time, 5 years. We traveled around the world to Australia, Hong Kong, all over Europe, all over the United States.
So why isn't the Juilliard String Quartet getting 70 million hits on YouTube? Why are you guys getting it?
You know, I don't know. And all I can say is that, you know, YouTube is a really interesting audience, and they like what they like, and they don't like what they like. And they're very, very honest. And, you know, and it's a cool thing, you know, because we even get to try some music out on there. You know, you can really see what people are going to dig. And then, you know, if one gets lots and lots of views, then you go and play that one a lot on the road. You know, so I don't know why the Juilliard String Quartet's not up there, but... you know, I hope this is showing all chamber groups to do it. You know, we've got some really good friends who are now in the Canadian Brass, a really famous ensemble.
Right, right.
And just recently, they put out a video of them playing Lady Gaga tune. And, you know, you never heard that from the Canadian Brass before, but I hope that it was a little inspired by what we're up to.
All right, Project Trio, tomorrow night here in New York at Joe's Pub at 7:30. And then in June, from the 17th to the 23rd in Bayview, Michigan, Project The Camp, which will be the group's first summer music festival.
You know,
I guess we know what you're doing on your summer vacation.
You know, we're doing what we love to do, and when we're on tour, we found that the nights were full of the shows, but oftentimes we had a lot of free time in the day, and so what we chose to do and choose to do with that time is to go out into the schools and play a lot of education shows, because we find it very important, and that's also comes from our classical background, that young people know what these instruments are, what kind of music they make, and really, we also teach about practicing and how if you do something focused every day, you can really come up with whatever you want to do. And this education outreach has allowed us to do so many more things as a group. Mm-hmm. We're now playing with orchestras on family and education concerts, and it really provides us a way to touch these young people and these young musicians.
All right, well, let's give you a chance to touch a few more listeners with another live performance. You want to do Pelea de Gallo?
Yeah, got it.
What does that mean? Something about a chicken?
Yes, please.
This is actually a tone poem, and you'll be able to hear it. It's about a chicken fight. And although no chickens were actually hurt in the making of this, if you use your imagination, well, you tell us what you think.
All right. Pelea de Gallo. It's the Project Trio, another live performance on Soundcheck. Once again, Project Trio live on Soundcheck with Pelea de Gallo, awesome. Chicken fight in classical music.
Yeah, man.
Now, Greg was telling us before he wants to make the flute into a rhythmic instrument. We heard Peter sort of rapping on the body of his bass to make that a percussion instrument. And in that piece, Eric turning your cello into a kind of a guitar.
Why so not?
Three very confused musicians.
That's
how
we like it.
The new album's called Random Roads Collection, and the CD release party is tomorrow night at Joe's Pub. Guys, thank you so much for being with us on Soundcheck.
Awesome. We really appreciate it.
This is Soundcheck. Called Grass from Project Trio, wrapping up Soundcheck for today. Tomorrow, it's a Soundcheck smackdown on the growing influence of foodie culture in music. We'll ask our guests and you, is food the new rebel rock? Plus a live performance from New York City rapper Jean Grey. Her upcoming album is called Cake or Death. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. The program is produced by Katie Bishop and Greta Cohn with Margaret Bresnahan. We had help today from Amy Pearl. Our senior producer is Joel Meyer. I'm John Schaefer. Be with us tomorrow for another Soundcheck.